I'm going to be presenting today on how to engage master gardeners in first detectors for exotic pest issues in your state. And I am with the Southern Plant Diagnostic Network, which is coordinated through the University of Florida. I'm going to give you some information specifically about our National Plant Diagnostic Network First Detector Program, and then I'm going to give you some information about other exotic pest detection strategies that other people have provided me, kindly provided me their information regarding what's going on in their state. Just briefly, the mission of the National Plant Diagnostic Network, for those of you who have not heard of the National Plant Diagnostic Network, it was formed in 2002 by USDA, Cooperative State Research, Education, and Extension Service, and the primary mission of the National Plant Diagnostic Network is to diagnose, enhance diagnostic capabilities nationwide through a coordinated network of land-grant university extension diagnostic labs primarily, although some State Department of Agriculture diagnostic labs are also included, and detection in the form of promoting cooperative extension first detector training and education. Now, in terms of our first detector education program, we do consider this more of a, in general, more of a passive first detector education program in that in their daily activities, first detectors might actually encounter something that might be an exotic pest of concern. So in many cases, even though these first detectors are actively looking in the field for good bugs, bad bugs, and other things, they're not necessarily always involved in an active survey program. And we do a lot of communication and coordination activities as well. And we'll move right along. And just as a reminder, the First Detector Educator Program through the National Plant Diagnostic Network is in fact a train-the-trainer program. We have a train-the-trainer manual, and we've conducted quite a bit of county agent-based training through the National Plant Diagnostic Network. Anyone can basically be a first detector that is interested. We've trained a lot of county extension agents and crop consultants. In some cases, some master gardeners have been involved. We're actually now, through our national program, we're working on developing some content that is more master gardener specific, because at this time we feel that much of our content, it can be readily adapted to the master gardener audience, but it may be geared a little bit more towards the county agent level, which is often a little bit different than what the master gardener target audience is interested in. So we have a working group developing content for that, and that is being led by Mary McKellar, who is our training and education coordinator from the Northeastern Plant Diagnostic Network. Basics of first detector training include promoting awareness concerning the threat of agricultural bioterrorism and invasive species. In general, for master gardeners, when I have presented to master gardener audiences, we do emphasize more of the general invasive species issue, although ag bioterrorism is the reason why the National Plant Diagnostic Network was formed. It's kind of a ephemeral topic to the master gardener audience that I find it's a little bit more applicable to actually focus on the invasive species issue, because it's very tangible to them, particularly in a state like Florida where we have approximately 12 new invasive arthropod species a year. It's a pretty easy topic for them to grasp onto. We encourage proper sample submission. So we have some sample submission modules that are pretty basic, and we go through the process of emphasizing when something should be submitted through the chain, through the county agent office, which of course they are working hand in hand with their county agent, but then sometimes it's necessary for those county agents to submit the samples forward to our diagnostic labs. In terms of a sample submission with the National Plant Diagnostic Network program, we've also done quite a bit of training in terms of focusing on digital samples. We've heard a little bit about that this morning as well, how important it is to take pictures, how master gardeners enjoy looking at pictures, and many of our states, Florida for example, has its own digital diagnostic system, and part of our master gardener educational effort is getting them to use that, excuse me, give me some water. This dry California air is a little bit rough on us southerners. So you'll have to excuse me for a minute. I do find it a little bit drier and a little bit harder to talk out here in the California climate in the winter. We have digital diagnostics that we have in Florida as well as many of our other states, and actually our northeastern states, our north central states, and our Great Plains Diagnostic Network states are extensively involved in using the Plant Diagnostic PDIS system is the acronym for a database that's available through the National Plant Diagnostic Network, and the county offices can actually submit samples to specialists in that system digitally as well. So we go through the process of digital sample submission in addition to physical sample submission as in this process. And we've seen this morning how important actually walking the master gardeners through the sample submission process is in order to properly identify a pest. And we do want to encourage things. This is just an example of one of the slides that's available to our educators. And you know, we obviously don't want to see crushed bugs or bugs on tape. And all of you that have ever had any sort of insect clinic experience have probably seen these type of samples previously. The National Plant Diagnostic Network does have, as I mentioned, we have some traditional PowerPoint presentations that are currently available to anyone interested in using them. And we also have opportunities for individuals to author PowerPoints and submit materials to our site that can then be available to other extension educators. There's really no stipulation on using the presentations as long as they're not for profit purposes. Obviously, we are an extension organization. We have a series of online modules that are actually led by a team from Gerald Holmes from North Carolina State received a NRI crop biosecurity grant to transition our core training modules to an online format. It's a very interesting, interactive online format, and it's actually going to be released in January of this coming year, the online training. With our National Plant Diagnostic Network training website, we have online registration available. So if you are interested in conducting NPDN first detector training, you can see actually the top screen on the top right is our website where you can easily advertise your session and have your master gardeners register online for that information. This is an example of a slide provided by Gail Rule, who is an active member of our Training and Education Committee. And as I mentioned, we do have core content and core modules for the First Detector Training Program. However, as we've seen by all the other speakers this morning, it's the master gardeners are basically interested in much of the plant information, and they're interested in key pests, key information that's relevant to them in terms of how they would handle their daily calls and so forth. And so the way Gail handles including the NPDN in her training program is by just keeping it simple, having one slide about the lab. It's a plant and pest diagnostic laboratory, so the Purdue lab actually combines insect and plant disease information in it. And so she just gives a brief overview about this program on the slide. Many of our educational programs are actually conducted and are possible through the extensive partnerships that we have formed on a local and regional basis. I'm talking about the overall program, but it's actually the people in the states that implement these programs on a daily basis. Here you can see some of the partners that we have on a regional and national basis, as well as some of our state-based partnerships that we've had in Florida. We've had some exciting training sessions that we've conducted in Florida, particularly to not only master gardeners, but we've had some specific hands-on training sessions that we have conducted with our Master Naturalist program in Florida as well. And some of these partnerships have included the Cooperative Agriculture Pest Survey Program, which is nationally coordinated through USDA APHIS PPQ CAPS, and PPQ, and also we've had state partnerships with the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services Division of Plant Industry and our statewide IPM Florida program. I'll go ahead and apologize that I'm giving you a list of acronyms here. If any of you would like to discuss more about acronyms, I can talk with you about any acronym probably that you'd like to know relating to our program after my presentation, but I'll try to keep it brief. And we do try to avoid including so many acronyms in a Master Gardener presentation. Here are some resources that are available to you when you're working with your Master Gardeners that, and many of you have probably already used these resources, but we have worked with the IPM centers extensively on getting out key national and regional pest alerts for emerging pest issues of concern. There are approximately 13 of these national or regional pest alerts currently available. In many cases, there are printed copies of these that can be easily sent to you now if you have an interest. So there's a large list of, like I said, 13 pest alerts currently available, and they are on this website. And you can also contact Dr. Sue Ratcliffe with the North Central IPM Center if you have further questions about these pest alerts. Now, this is the information that I'm going to move a little bit away from actually talking about the First Detector program and now shift to some information on exotic pest training that has occurred with Master Gardeners in states around the country. And I just sent out an informal query to some of the specialists throughout the country, and these are some of the responses that I received regarding what was going on, you know, in your states. And Cliff Sadoff specifically mentioned that when he is talking to Master Gardeners, he's found that focusing on a target pest is key. Again, we've heard that this morning, and so this isn't particularly new compared to some of the other information we've heard this morning, but I thought it was a particularly nice example. Specifically, he mentioned the gypsy moth, and that he had focused on that and provided that as a historical basis to the Master Gardeners in order to get them to understand the need for pest control. So that was a nice example for that. So it was effective, actually, in getting the Master Gardeners to then work with homeowners to understand when there was a need for spray of a particular pest. So that's Master Gardeners can be a bridge in bridging that communication gap between the public when there is a need for area-wide control of a pest. Another target pest that he mentioned that he is currently focused on for his region clearly is emerald ash borer, and I'm sure many of you have focused on this pest in your presentations. Eric Day provided me some information on what he normally does in Virginia with his exotic pest program, and the Virginia program is similar to some of the programs that we've heard about this morning. He typically covers about 3 to 4 pests of concern that are new or emerging pests, and the examples that he mentioned that are currently on his list include emerald ash borer, brown marmorated stink bug, and Pyrrhea sinensia. And but it could change depending on, you know, what the new issue is for Virginia. But he focuses on pests that are not necessarily widely distributed in Virginia, but that they could detect. And for example, the brown marmorated stink bug is only in about 8 counties, and the emerald ash borer is fairly close in West Virginia. So these are really emerging issues that are local and relevant to this audience. He also focuses on the common pest, which we've heard about again this morning, and that's important and a key part of his training to the Master Gardeners. Sample submission, how to submit samples to his laboratory, again, important. This is some information provided by Dan Gilrain, and I know it's not an insect topic, but it is relevant to the overall exotic species issue. And this is actually something they're doing at Cornell University in terms of incorporating kind of Master Gardeners and citizen volunteers in a weed watcher program as a component of their nature conservancy efforts. And this is specifically targeted at giant hogweed, which is, of course, a major pest of concern and under eradication. Also at Cornell, they're working on a citizen science project program, and this is with Paul Weston, and you can see the website here. And actually, the master gardeners will go online and enter data. Actually, online, they'll enter the information, and they can either enter very brief information, such as host information, location information. The website contains an interactive key, which gives them a pictorial guide to what viburnum species might be affected. And they also have the opportunity to enter more detailed information relating to damage, if this is of interest to them. And actually, some of this information that was obtained was useful in coming up with the thresholds for control for this pest. So this is a really interesting program in terms of how the master gardeners have been used for looking at viburnum leaf beetle as an emerging pest. There were also some interesting information and training going on in Washington, and Eric Lagasse and Todd Murray provided this information. Master gardeners in Washington, through their Master Gardener Clinic, have actually detected new pests to their state, including cherry bark tortrix, European chafer, and viburnum leaf beetle. And also, you can see on this slide an interesting link to an information of a way that master gardeners have been used to be included in data collection for an exotic wireworm study. So that is also interesting. And the final story to share that I have is actually from Susan Halbert with the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. And she found an opportunity to relay information to master gardeners when she was out on a survey for citrus greening. Then she was talking to one of the Division of Plant Industry inspectors, and they mentioned to her that the master gardeners had some citrus trees at the Marion County Extension Office, even though her regular survey efforts did not result in finding greening. There was actually greening on the premises with where the master gardeners had their citrus trees. So this was just another opportunity. She saw the opportunity to create additional educational materials for them and have a specific training session for these master gardeners. And that's all I have. Thank you for putting up with my very dry and difficult voice today. And I'll be happy to talk with any of you during the meeting at any point. Thank you.